Should we get to the first topic, regime change?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the White House is clearly looking for a way out. They claim that regime change has already occurred. Here, I'll quote Pete Hegseth. This new regime, because regime change has occurred, should be wiser than the last. Then Trump says, we've had regime change, if you look, already, because the one regime was decimated, destroyed. Robbie, that's not regime change, is it?
No, I don't think that qualifies. I mean, also
it's personnel changes.
Well, also, I mean, Trump said that the whole reason they went in is because Bibi told him to be good, good little middle manager and go and destroy Iran's nuclear program. Well, as far as I know, Iran still has all of its fissile material. They still have all their enriched uranium. So if that was the goal, and if the Iranian government is still in place, and if Iran still has the nuclear material, then doesn't that mean that Iran has, what's the word? Won.
Yeah, Iran. I mean, I think clearly Iran has won. And the thing is, why do you think the Trump administration is making this claim? I mean, are they just trying to say we're going to declare victory and leave? I mean, this reminds me a lot of what happened with Venezuela. I mean, in defense of Trump, I mean, it is true that he has changed the general posture of the Venezuelan government to one that is now supine, right? And is basically giving away its oil to the United States, has agreed to no longer ship oil to its ally, Cuba. So even though under the Venezuelan system remains the same, the police remain the same, there's no U.S. occupation, Venezuelan vice president has stepped up to be acting president, they still consider Nicolas Maduro, who is currently in U.S. custody, to be the legitimate legal president of Venezuela. Effectively, they have changed the policies of the Venezuelan government. Is that fair to call that regime change? And if so, is it fair to call any kind of change of personnel a regime change? I mean, Iran's not a monarchy, so I don't see how you can call it a regime change.
Well, it's not a regime change. I mean, the government is still in place. And also, if Trump is going on saying that Iran's been decimated, that we're winning. If that is true, then why are they signaling that they're going to invade Iran using ground forces? And by the way, one thing I want to point out, and I made this point on Facebook too, we're in this war because of Israel. That is a statement of fact. So now the U.S. military, specifically the Marine Corps and the and paratroopers, are preparing for an invasion of Karg Island. Meanwhile, our greatest ally, the only democracy in the Middle East, which never does anything wrong, says they will not send one single soldier to help us go fight in a war that they drug us into. With friends like that, who the hell needs an enemy?
Good question.
It is a good question. I like having answers. So for all the Zionists out there, all the bootlickers who just get down at the Star Rim fan and worship and tell me how, as a Christian, I'm obligated to support the Jews because they're God's chosen people. My son's 16. He turned 17 this year. I have a vested interest in this. Why is it the responsibility for my son, your son, and the sons of millions of other people to potentially go fight and die again for this pissant little pathetic country the size of New Jersey on a war that they push us into, but they don't have the stones to send one soldier to fight with us?
Robbie, I'm working on a column this week that argues that that we are finally in a fascist society here in the United States. I never thought that until recently. I think the Iran war tipped us into it. War is sort of, if you look at students of fascism, like my old professor at Columbia, Robert O. Paxton, who wrote The Anatomy of Fascism, he argued that war is the logical culmination of fascism and that it destroys a fascist regime. Certainly that was true in Italy and Germany. The wars destroyed those two countries and their governments. Do you think I'm putting too fine a point on it, or do you think that's a fair assessment that basically the logic of the Trump administration, fascism is less about, it's a right-wing thing, but it's less about ideology than it is about a method of governance. Do you think it's fair to say that the logical culmination of like the scapegoating and the violence and the paranoia that went with Trumpism and maybe MAGAism to a second extent, but secondary level, but certainly Trumpism, that is the main reason that we are where we are at, and that basically it will bring down, if not the United States government, it'll certainly bring down Trump politically.
I don't know if it's fascism or not. It's definitely oligarchy. It's definitely a death of Republican small R government. Really, I think it has more to do with economics. I think that the debt is such that we can no longer write hot checks that the world can cover. And so in order to prop that up, we have got to solidify the position in the world energy markets. And I think that's really at the end of the day what this is all about, at least from a rational perspective. The problem is, though, is that if you're dealing with a country like Israel, which is not rational, that controls our government through its lobby, I don't know if rationalism is even baked into the cake. I mean, I can at least make the case that you go after Venezuela and Iran because you want total domination of those oil markets, specifically Iran, because Iran is one of China's largest suppliers of oil. If the whole idea is to contain Iran, that makes sense. The problem is I don't see any rational thought here at all. I don't know what the end game is. I don't know what it looks like.
Okay. All right. Sorry. It's like a little hard to do, with Robbie is not the producer. And so he's not today. He's the co-host. If you're just joining us, John Kiriakou is out. He's traveling. He will be here for the Q&A episode at 12 noon. So tune into that. All right. So let's talk about this mission. So Robbie, you're too young to remember this, but back in 1980, Jimmy Carter was dealing with the 444-day long Iran hostage crisis that ultimately was a major contributing factor to his losing his reelection campaign to Ronald Reagan. And he, so desperate to get the hostages back, he authorized a hostage rescue mission. So he sent off helicopters to land in the desert near Tehran. And the idea was that they would, these commandos would sneak into Tehran and grab the hostages, snatch them out of the U.S. embassy that was being held by these Iranian students in Tehran. It was a disaster. A sandstorm came up. They had to flee. They never got anywhere close to where they needed to. And several soldiers died. It was a fiasco, and it was viewed as another example of Carter's incompetence and ineptitude. Now Trump is considering a mission to go to the site of where the U.S. Carpet bombed and dropped uranium depleted bombs on in the desert where the Iranians had their nuclear power program. Presumably, and we don't know this is true at all, the Iranians may have moved it, but presumably their stash of uranium is in there. It's been enriched. It's below the rubble. It's been enriched to 60%, which is very, very high. So, basically you're talking about the Trump administration wants to go in, dig a giant hole while they're taking Iranian fire, recover this extremely radioactive, dangerous substance and get out without getting blown up by the substance or by the Iranians or both. Sounds like the Jimmy Carter idea was a smarter and easier idea to pull off than this one.
Well, it would be because of Libya. I mean, how can I say this without sounding like a prick? Libya throughout its history has never really been a major power, even a regional power. It just kind of exists. It's just kind of there. Iran is a real country. And I've said this before. Iran was old when Rome was young. Today, Rome is gone. Persia is still there. I mean, this is a real country, a civilizational nation with a proud history, and more importantly, with a martial ethos. If you go against a people like that, I mean, no, Iran's been conquered in the past. Sure, that's the reason why Islam is their major religion now, not Zoroastrianism. but they are resilient and they're proud and they do this thing called fighting. They don't roll over. And I think that's why Trump doesn't understand. I think that the United States thinks that if you just go and blow stuff up, then that means that you win. I think it's a fundamental disconnect about what victory looks like from two different perspectives. I think that's the issue.
I think ultimately, I think the Iranians understand more about what makes the U.S. tick than the other way around. And you're really seeing it now, right, with the ceasefire talk. I mean, the United States is acting, they're just saying like, okay, if you reopen the Strait of Hormuz, we'll offer you a ceasefire. Okay, so that's ignoring the history of the United States negotiating not once, not twice, but three times with the Iranians and then sneak attacking them while they're negotiating. The Iranians have no reason, no way, no how to trust the United States. A ceasefire doesn't do them any good because they know the U.S. and the Israelis will be back for more bullshit later on. They have to keep fighting. They have to make sure that they bloody our noses and teach us a lesson that we will never forget. I think for the Iranians, this is now, you know, I don't think the Americans understand like, oh, well, now we can go back to a ceasefire. A ceasefire? You had a ceasefire. You chose to take a shit on your ceasefire. And now the Iranians have to win. They can't just survive at this point. I mean, although surviving, as John and I have talked about here, is victory, and they will survive. But they also have to thrive. They have to make sure that they hurt Iran. They have to hurt Israel and the U.S. and their allies and their economic interests enough to make sure that the whole world pressures the U.S. and Israel to never attack Iran again.
Well, it's that. And also one thing that I just want to just kind of point out is that as long as the sanctions are in place, we have a stranglehold on Iran. So before I would ever sit down to have a conversation with the United States, I would insist that those sanctions be lifted first. Otherwise, all we're doing is just strangling them. So what Agreed. Does Iran get out of it?
Oh, I would insist on full diplomatic relations, too. Like everything. You know, we exchange ambassadors, like, you know, and you need a treaty obligation, right? You need the U.S. to go. You need Trump to go to Congress and get the Senate to ratify a treaty that says that the United States will not attack Iran. Now, obviously, that's not something that the Israelis would agree to, but I think probably for the Iranians, it would be enough to get the U.S. on their side because Israel doesn't do, I know they're guiding this, but Israel's not going to do boo without the U.S. I mean, they're a welfare state. They belong to us.
Isn't that an indictment about how pathetic our government is? I mean, think about that for a second. Israel is our client. Which yeah. is how it is
I our mean, biggest on paper, client,
which on paper is correct. Then how is it that they control the United States? I mean, who is whose client at this point?
Well, they're manipulating the United States, but they're not controlling the United States. I think, you know, it's they're behind the scenes. We got a lot of questions to deal with.
No, for sure. Now I'm going to push back on you right there a little bit, Ted. I think they 100% are controlling us. We are engaged in a war that is not in our interest in any way, shape, or form. The United States gets nothing out of this war. Nothing. One shape or form. It would be in America's interests to open relations with Iran and be trading with them. But we can't do that because 100%. Israel controls our Congress and our president through its lobby. And if you point that out, then they go and start swinging the, oh, you're anti-Semitic club, which I don't care what you call me at this point. Social can't call me a liar. I'm good with that. I don't care. But that's what they're doing. No, they 100% control us. We are a conquered nation. We've been conquered by the power of the U.S. dollar and the fact that our government is ran by a bunch of cheap whores.
But you and I both know if Israel ceased to exist tomorrow, the U.S. would be, yeah, we'd be more successful. We'd have more friends in the Middle East. We would have more alliances. Trump would have more hotels in the Middle East. I mean, it would all be good. You know, it is a ridiculous arrangement. Want to support the show with style? Go to deprogram.live and check out our merch. That's deprogram.live or check out the description below. Thanks for watching.